Good afternoon. My name is Gautam Pradhan and I'm from North Dakota State University, Williston Resource Extension Center. The results that I am presenting today is from Texas Panhandle. Let me begin by acknowledging the contribution of all of my co-authors. Most of you know that in USA, more than 75% of which are winter wheat, and southern high plains, that includes Texas high plains, some of the New Mexico and Oklahoma Panhandle and southwest Kansas, there you will find most of the winter wheat that is produced in the nation. This southern high plains is characterized by semi-arid climates, which means the rainfall is less than 250 millimeter. And here, you already know from the previous presentator that Ogallala Aquifer is the main source of irrigation. And you also have heard that Ogallala Aquifer is depleting at an alarming rate. You can see here, in many, many places, you can see even more than 75% of depletion in Ogallala Aquifer well. So now, what to do? So, we have to find out a way to check this depletion, which we think one of the best way will be to find out the management techniques, technology that will decrease the irrigation of the field crops. But we don't want any yield decrease, no yield penalty. Therefore, our objectives were to determine optimum irrigation level for wheat without yield penalty, and also we want to find or identify is there any high yielding wheat genotypes that does very good under deficit irrigation. The experiment was, as I said, conducted last year in 2013 in Texas Panhandle. You can see there this is the Texas Panhandle, the northernmost section of the Texas state. And you can see the exact location in another Google map. So you can just check this latitude and longitude and you will reach there. So in this experiment, there were two treatments, irrigations and genotypes. There were four irrigation levels that we applied. I-100, subscript 100, 75, 65, and 55, and 20 genotypes. 10 of them belongs to Texas wheat lines, and other 10 were from neighboring states, all neighboring states, up to Colorado. The experimental design was split plot, with irrigation as a main plot and genotypes as a subplot, and there were three replications. We collected growth and yield data from all of the plots. However, the seasonal evapotranspiration data was collected only from 6 Texas line plots, and all the data were analyzed using SAS 9.3 procedure GLIM mix. Let me take a minute to brief you about how irrigation treatments were applied. So irrigations were applied using central pivot system. An irrigation control treatment, that I subscript 100, we call it control, that received sufficient 38.1 millimeter low energy precision application irrigations. That is in inch, everyone was talking about is 1.5 inch. Irrigation to meet the full crop ET calculated earlier by the Texas High Plains Evapotranspiration Network. So during spring, on the same day that we applied 100% ET, so we also applied deficit irrigations of 75, 65, and 50% of that control. Let me talk something about results, few things about results, I mean. This year, or I mean in 2013, there were a number of frost episodes in Texas Pan High Plains at pre as well as post heading stages of wheat, which affected wheat growth and reduced yield substantially. In this experiment, there was no significant interaction effect of irrigation times genotypes for all the major traits except grain yield. But the effect of irrigation treatment was significant for all the traits that we measured. So seasonal evaporations, we measure seasonal evaporations by collecting gravimetric soil water data for 1.2 meter depth with every increment of 0.3 meter. That was collected just before planting and also immediately after harvesting. And seasonal evapotranspiration was then calculated from this, you know, water balance equations, so which is soil water content at planting plus rainfall plus irrigation that we supplied, and you just minus the soil water content at maturity. So in this graph, you can see that there was significant difference of irrigation level among irrigation level for evapotranspiration, seasonal evapotranspirations. The 75, 65 and 55% of irrigation level had 17%, 23% and 31% decrease in seasonal evapotranspiration. Once again, I already said that these are the average of six Texas varieties. So stem and spike number. So you can see that the irrigation level of 55% ET produce only 41% of stem number as compared to the control. And the irrigation level of 65 had the highest stem number. There was no difference between irrigation level of 75 as compared to the control. However, significant decrease in spike number was observed, that was 20% to 36% decrease in 65 and 55% irrigation level respectively. Stem and spike weight. The deficit irrigation has profound effect on both stem and spike weight. The stem weight decreased by 25, 36 and 58% under 75, 65 and 55 ET level as compared to the control. Similarly, the spike weight decreased by 28, 55 and 70% as compared to the control. There was no difference between two treatments, that is 75% of irrigations and 100% control for grain yield. However, grain yield decreased very, very significantly, up to 74% in 55%, 55% irrigation level and 56% in 65% level. I informed you earlier that the genotype times irrigation treatment was interaction was significant for only yield. Now let's see how genotype behave. Here I just want to say that there was no genotypic variation for yield under 55% of irrigation. And also there was no difference in genotypes for yield under 65% of irrigation. However, genotypic difference was observed under 75% of irrigation as well as under control, I mean fully irrigated plots. And you can see that the cross marks that I use here, they are the genotypes that has produced very less amount of grain as compared to the others. So with this, let me summarize our experiments. Irrigation level of 75% ET is enough to produce as much stem number, spike number, and wheat grain as at 100% ET in southern high plains of the USA. So we think that there is opportunity to save a substantial amount of irrigation water. And the irrigation level of 65% and below is not beneficial for producers in terms of growth and grain yield. However, we say that an economic analysis is needed to make a sound decision, because we have not done that. Finally, we recommend that the experiment should be repeated in coming years. We have already done this year too, to find out the difference among treatments, irrigation treatments, under a normal year. Because that year in 2013, we had, as I already mentioned, couple of number of episodes of frost, and that has resulted into those very less, you know, lower yield in wheat. Even in under 100%, you can see that the yield was very low. So we have to repeat these experiments again and again. With this, thank you. And any questions? Yes, please. Yes.
So the yields of 100% ET, I've spent about 2,400 kilos per hectare. Is that about a 50% reduction or so, you see, because of the frost damage?
This frost damage, so it is around 32 bushel per acre. So let me calculate it in that way, okay? So that is around 33 bushel per acre. Actually, that is 25 to 33 bushel per acre is norms in dry land. But due to the frost, we had that. In irrigated, we used to have about around 70 bushel per acre. Yeah, that is substantial decrease, 60 to 70. Yes, please.
Thank you for your presentation. It's very nice and very clear. But I'm afraid the evaporative transpiration percentage is very close, 75 and 65 and 55. What about the total water amount added? Did you calculate this one? The total amount or the irrigation, how many irrigation times you have used for each level?
Yeah. I mentioned that 38.1 millimeter was the ET requirement. I mentioned that. So, thank you for that question. We applied first irrigations in December and second in March. Those were applied in all the field. So, you might have heard that when I was talking about irrigation treatment, I was telling you about spring irrigation, yeah. I said that 100% was 38 millimeter, and then deficit irrigations were applied in spring, I said. That means we applied two irrigations in April, five in May, and one in first week of June. So there were altogether eight. So if I convert that into millimeter, I know that it is around 302 or 304 millimeter. When we multiply that total amount of irrigation applied in 100%. However, then you have to calculate every time we are using center pivot, we have that freedom to adjust the irrigations. So we reduced according to those subscript, you know, 75% of 100, 65% of 100, and 55% of 100. It is like that. So we can calculate that. Thank you. Thank you so much.